We do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world.
Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian, here with my co-host, a man whose name backwards still spells Ramon.
I'm Ramon.
Yeah, you are. Today, we finish our three-part series titled...
Legacy.
Indeed. Today's episode is titled, The Guardian. And we're going to talk about... man slash father as protector, because that's one of our roles. So let's get right to it. Our scripture today comes from
Micah chapter 7 verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light.
Have I mentioned that that is delicious?
I think so.
Okay. Because it is. I mean, we can't say it's not. This gentleman and sisters who are listening, because we see you out there, is one of the most important podcasts that we are going to put out there. Reason being is that fatherhood is necessary for society. And I can't stress how irreplaceable the father is. As a matter of fact, the reason why we started this is basically because of this. You know, this is one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast to begin with. It's because the fullness of manhood is fatherhood. Because we're looking at you know, for the answer to what does it mean to be a man, which is something that, you know, you should listen to the other podcast to hear more about. We get our the answer for that, we get it in the person of Jesus Christ. In God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all one. So the fullness of manhood is being like Christ. Christ is one with the Father. So the fullness of manhood is fatherhood, is to be like God. And so if we're going to be fathers, if we're going to be men, then we need to be father in some way, shape, or form, whether it's spiritual, like in the case of priests, or physical, like in the case of married people. And if you're not married and you're not a biological father, you're not a priest either, then you are still not off the hook. No, you're still a father figure to someone out there. Shout out to the train. Once again, we are reporting live from, or I should say recording live from, East LA. For those of you who are brand new listeners, want to welcome you and inform you that we record in a car studio weekly. And sometimes we record from Dude Catholic Manor in Whittier, California. And other times we record in East Los Angeles, California, right in front of a train station. Or what do we call this again?
It's a train yard.
Train yard. There you go. It's cooler, actually, to look at. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why we get a little bit of background noise, which is cool and all. So just, you know, for those of you who are new, it's not that we're compromising quality, it's that we're compromising quality. But it's cool because, you know, you get what you pay for.
Nice.
Okay, well, now that I lost the two new listeners that we have, wanna go back to this idea of this is the reason why we do things. You know, this is the reason why fatherhood is so important, is because God is love, and He communicates His love through the love of the Father, which is something that's being attacked relentlessly in our culture. You know, you see dads not being present, and we don't need to look outside of our families to realize that there is a father wound in society. When 4 out of 10 children that are born to this world are growing up without a father. I think that's just in America, too. You know, 4 out of 10 kids that are growing up without a father in the home. There's going to be consequences in society, and we're already starting to see them because we've been on this train to use the metaphor here that I'm looking at. We've been on this train for a long time. Oh, there's a lot of podcasts that I listen to that pin it back to the sexual revolution. So back in the 60s, 70s, you know, that's when things started to go downhill. That's when people started to say, oh, you know, the father is replaceable. You can raise a child without a father. Yeah, you can, but should you? Just because we can doesn't mean we should. And we've been doing that should. Or should I say should not?
Mm-hmm.
Pun not intended.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the statistics, all the crimes. And it's crazy, too, like being here in L.A. And I've heard this many times, you know, the gang capital of the world. And you look at everybody that's involved in gangs, most of them they come from fatherless homes.
Yeah. Yeah, around 85% of kids in juvie are fatherless.
Yeah, you know, and man, I don't want to be like skipping around here, but part of being a father is to teach your kid how to fend off for him or herself. You know, because God forbid you die and you leave your family. How are they going to learn how to be men if you never taught them how to be men? You see, going back to those examples of the people that are in gangs, they learned how to be a man because, you know, you hear it in the rap songs too, you know, the homies showed me love. And I feel safe with the homies and all that. But that's false. That's a false sense of security that you have in the streets. But when you have a loving father in the home, somebody that shows you what a real man does, the value of struggle, of honest and hard work and respect for everybody, regardless of their profession. It's actually kind of cool. I spent the whole day with our oldest brother. His name is Miguel. He's an awesome dude. Yeah, he's awesome. We were talking about, somehow we started talking about veterans and all the respect they get. And then, you know, some of the perks they get, and it's cool. You know, I respect that. And I really shout out to all the veterans.
Yeah.
But also how we can go overboard with certain people, meaning like how much extra respect they get, you know, just because you're a combat veteran or any sort of cool job that you had in the military, that doesn't mean that you have more dignity than the janitor at the school.
Yeah, I think vets would even agree with that.
Absolutely. I think I brought this up in this series too, that, you know, we're creating a culture that's just producing people that take and take and take and provide no value to anybody.
Ugh, that's nasty.
Right?
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's true, though, and it's all over the place, and we don't have to look too far to realize where it's at, you know? All we have to do is show up to the places where we have to be, and we see it all over the place. We see people not wanting to do what they were hired to do. And we've talked about this several times, you know, like if we just show up and do what we're supposed to be doing, we out-hustle about 75% of the people at the workplace, which is sad. It's really sad, but just put in the work, man. And that's something that as fathers, we're supposed to model. This is how we guard our family. This is how we guard our own. The title of this is The Guardian. And so father as protector is one of the key things in our very nature. You know, we are protectors. We are providers. We are presiders. We're the ones that are supposed to be leading prayers in the household. We're the ones that are supposed to be providing for their physical and spiritual needs. You know, their emotional needs as well. I mean, I don't need to quote the quote all the statistics. I mean, we've been talking about those throughout the history of this podcast. You know, if you're in the home and you're actually present, you know, you haven't abandoned your family spiritually, physically, emotionally, and you're just present in every single possible way, your kids are going to grow up healthier. They're going to have a really low chances of depression, of negative self-image for the girls, you know, like all this stuff that's wrong with society is wrong in higher percentages when the father is not around. And we're not talking about the instances in which, you know, dad dies or whatever, you know, like those instances are I want to say rare. You know, they're not as rare, but they're not as common as, you know, divorce. You know, they're not as common as dad was too much of a coward to stick around, or he wasn't willing to put in the work. You know, so we're talking about those. We're talking to those of you who may be considering divorce, who may be considering all these things that are basically weak. You know, if you've already gone through something like that and you can't repair your marriage, if you're one of those men who are contrite about the mistakes of the past, you know, we are firm believers in the gospel of Jesus. So if you've made a mistake and you're trying to make things right and it's not happening because the mom of your kids are, you know, she doesn't want to go back or whatever, you know, we can't do anything about that. And I don't want to make it sound like, you know, like, oh, you screwed up and you're done for. Because God's mercy is bigger than our opinion. But at the same time, you know, for those of you who are still not dads yet, prepare yourself. You're not trying to become a better man so that you can win over a girl. You're trying to become a better man for the sake of becoming a better man. And part of becoming a better man means that you're just preparing yourself to be the provider, to be the protector, to be the person that's going to lead your family into heaven. Because being there is the bare minimum. And I've said it before that I get kind of tired of people applauding me just for doing the bare minimum. Like, you don't see the stuff that I actually should be applauded for, and I'm not going to expect to be applauded. You know what? I don't even expect to be applauded for anything or care for the applause. All I care about is the people that I'm providing for. And when Ramon was mentioning that thing about gangs, they're not getting real love. They're getting people that tell them, get your money. You do you. You know, keep after yourself and make sure that you get what you deserve, what you need, what you want. At whatever cost. And that's not love. That's counterfeit. You know, we keep on bringing it in to ourselves and we keep on believing it because it's a cold world, but it doesn't have to be that way. You know, there you can be that person that changes the cycle of violence. You can be that person that says, you know what, it ends here. And it ends now. You know, if you weren't that person, we're offering you a chance to join us in this endeavor that we have to give of ourselves so that the beloved might live.
I got it. I'm just like digesting all that because it's powerful. It's really powerful. And, you know, another way that we teach our children how to fend for themselves is showing them how to control their emotions. Mm-hmm. And how do we show them? We learn how to control our own emotions. When something goes wrong, we don't outwardly express all the filth that we're feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that emotions, bad emotions, you know, are filthy. Bad emotions are, they're not even bad, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, God made us the way that we are mm-hmm. because for a reason, so that we can be passionate about stuff. But you have to be harnessing that anger, because that anger is not supposed to be turned onto your family, because you'll burn them alive. Not literally, you know, figuratively speaking here. But all that aggression is meant to protect them. And right now we're talking about sticking around. Right now we're talking about, you know, showing them what love is. But God forbid you have to physically protect them from one of those wolves that's out there. How are you preparing for that? You know, we actually talk about this, Adrian. You know, doing push-ups, mm-hmm. learning how to fight, learning how to be under pressure, because we're not Bruce Lee and we'll never be.
No.
Because somebody's going to be on top of you, ground and pound, and, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because honestly, you don't necessarily have to win the fight. You just have to, take the fight. They have to take the fight out of the other person, because you want your family to be safe. You have to teach them what to do. You call 911, something. Do something. Be reliable. Be at least the buffer that's going to keep them alive. We've spoken about this before, but I'm going to repeat it one more time. A man wears black on his wedding day because he's dying to himself. So you need to get ready for that. God forbid you have to physically die so that your family can get to go home. But be ready for that. Prepare for that. Harden your body. Harden your mind. Because once you get that going, once you get that ball rolling, your heart is going to be strong. And you're going to be able to deal with so much stuff. And you're going to be such a good example. Because you're going to be a super hard man. And yes, I'm saying super because we have to take ourselves that seriously. We have to become unstoppable.
Your kids do.
Yeah.
Your kids take you that seriously. Your kids exactly. think that you're tough. Like, I'm not the toughest guy in the world, but the kids see me doing stuff around the house. You know, they see me, like, whenever I hurt myself, like, I take it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they see me and they're like, oh, dude, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, right?
Like, I'm a freaking nerd, you know?
but that they see you as a superhero. And that's one of the things that I do with James, you know? I show him no fear mm-hmm. and I show him no pain. There's been a lot of times where we've been walking around the neighborhood and it's a cool neighborhood, you know, don't get me wrong, but sometimes there's wild dogs and then they try to get all tough and I'm scared because, you know, especially when it's more than one dog, what am I going to do if multiple dogs attack me and him? The boy is going to get hurt. One thing I do know for sure is that we're going home and the dogs are going to have no more birthdays. Maybe we shouldn't put that in the podcast because I don't want this, you know, to be misinterpreted in the wrong way. But I'm just saying,
no dogs were hurt in the making of this podcast.
Right, no. I'm just saying, you know, like I've been in that situation where the dogs try to get really tough, and it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna show them no fear. The boy is counting on me to keep him safe, and calm is contagious.
It is.
So I usually say a tiny little prayer. God be with me. That's it. It doesn't have to be this intricate thing. That's how I ask God for strength. God be with me. I don't bark back at them either, but I stand firm and I show them no fear. And then that transmits, that's contagious to the boy because suddenly he feels super courageous where he stops standing behind me and he'll stand right there next to me. Holding my hand, still a little scared, but so am I. And you know, that's life, too. I think that's a good metaphor for life because, you know, we like to believe we're so grown and so mature, but when the time comes, are we really? Do we really act accordingly? Are we really prepared to be uncomfortable and perform the way that we're supposed to? And if you're not ready, then, you know, welcome to the club. I still don't have everything figured out.
I feel like that's a reoccurring theme in this podcast, you know, like admitting to that.
Yeah, and it has to be. It has to be a reminder, man. Like, we're never going to have everything figured out, but that's why we have this awesome community. That's why we have each other, and that's why we keep reminding each other. We are raising the next generation of warriors. And we need to be constantly be working towards being a good stewards of all the qualities that God gave us. We have a strong mission here on Earth. I think that that's one of the things that we forget. Like, you're here for a reason. For crying out loud, you were not an accident. Even if you were conceived out of wedlock, you are not an accident. You're here for a reason. And part of that reason is to add value. Please drill that in your head. You are here to add value.
Yeah. And you're not here to just think about how much value you haven't been adding or how much value. I mean, at least this is what I tell myself.
Yeah.
I'm not here to think about all the things I could have done better. I'm here to do better now. And it's not a time for us to be licking our wounds or saying, oh, you know, I didn't have this and that, and start looking for excuses. Because, man, I've been listening to people who have been going to therapy and whatnot, and nothing against getting therapy. I think everyone should, just because we're all damaged. But we need to sift out all the garbage that's out there.
Yeah.
And you've been talking about a lot of very valuable things right now, Ramon. I just don't even know where to start, you know. But dude, like, we need to be preparing to be made obsolete, you know. Like, we're not leaving anything behind. As guardians, as protectors of the next generation of warriors, we need to be able to to plan for us to not be around. That means that we mm-hmm. owe it to them as part of us guarding them, you know, those who depend on us, to prepare them to be the man that they need to be, you know, to be on the path. And to be physically strong is a requirement. You know, there's a lot of us dads who are couch potatoes who don't want to get up from, you know, once we come home from work, we're all stressed, we eat crap. Like, no, we owe it to them to teach them how to eat. We owe it to them to teach them how to take care of the world. You know, I was talking about this with my wife today, and we might have shared this in the podcast before, maybe not, I don't know, but we one spring in the farmer's market, because we grew up in Mexico for the first part of our lives. Now we've been living here in America for longer, but back then in the farmer's market they would give out chicks, and my mom brought home a bunch of them.
I remember that.
And we made a big cage for them. You know, there was still a cage, but it was a big cage. They had some room, and we would talk to them, and we'd come home from school, they'd get all happy, yeah. And we'd like talk to them, like, you know, the way you talk to pets and whatnot. And we got really close to those chicks. One day they weren't there anymore. I was like, oh, they're not there. What happened? I don't remember what the answer was to what happened. But it was something ambiguous, because afterwards, you know, it was time to eat and we ate.
You know, I remember that, and I think you refused to eat.
No. Miguel refused to eat. Yeah. I ate. I was like, dude, this is so good. The chicken was delicious. It was like the cleanest, most... Oh, it was good. It tasted so good. And then afterwards, I figured it out, and I was like, Mom!
I got you.
Seriously, dude, I was so hurt because we lived with these things. We named them. We talked to them. That we saw them get happy. Like, they were not just things. You know, we depersonalize things so much. And part of guarding our kids is to make them appreciate things. Mm-hmm. You know, appreciate what we put into our bodies, how we make ourselves strong, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we can't disassociate from these things, and we live in a society of comfort. And we need to remind them that, you know what, like, life is not comfortable all the time, or it's not comfortable for free.
Yeah.
You know, certain people need to, you know, we brought up veterans earlier. Certain people need to put themselves out there and sometimes lay down their lives so that you may have the freedom that you enjoy. Some people need to kill those animals that are cute sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean that in a humorous way. I mean, like, life needs to be given up so that someone else might live. That's what we're being called to do. We're being called sometimes to do the killing, sometimes to be the offering. And we do that as because it was modeled by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was modeled by the one who gave of himself completely and entirely so that we may have life abundantly. You know, we want the best for our kids. And last time we talked about Christmas, you know, we're still in the season of Christmas. Merry Christmas. And we confuse giving stuff for actually giving. You know, it's not just stuff. And my kids got a lot of stuff, a little bit too much, you know, for my comfort, or whatever, you know. But it's not the stuff that's going to make them happy. You know, it was really cool to be able to go with them to the park to actually use the stuff. The stuff should conduce to us spending time with them, like quality time. And it was really cool to see other dads in the park, like, guiding their kids and teaching them how to ride a bike and skate and whatnot. It was really neat to be able to see that. It gives me hope, you know, because what we see all the time is, like, it's the negative. But if you're there, if you're putting in the work, that's the best way to guard your family. That's the best way to keep them safe, to keep them healthy. You know, it does go down to that basic level of what are they putting in their mouths. You have control over that. You have control over a lot of illnesses that they could avoid. I think I've just exhausted myself here. So I'm not gonna lie, man. I'm done.
Now, you raised a very good point, and I kind of wanted to interject here. where, I don't know, man, like, I work with a lot of youngsters, and it seems like, you know, the ones that are not, you know, too California, to LA. It's a wonderful place. Don't get me wrong. I like, I really love
people move where I live. Drones for a reason.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to be. But it's also very, it's so liberal, man. Oh, my goodness. And it's so selfish, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of the stuff that you see on the internet that, oh, my goodness. But anyway, a lot of the people that are really on the right path actually don't care about the stuff that's online. They see it. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. Another thing that's not Christian, another thing that's not whatever. It's just a whatever thing. Kind of like how I see it, too, where there's a lot of negativity online. But it's, and I forgot where I heard this, but it's the loud minority, because most of America and most people around the world just want to do what's good. They want to follow the example that was set by Christ. You need to be on your A game every single day, because you're so important and you're in my life and in everybody's life for a good reason. Don't let yourself down.
Dude, talk about the first line of defense right there.
Right? Hey, and you've said that before and in a previous episode. We are the first line of defense. We have to teach our children, again, the value of hard work. We have to teach our children the value of sacrifice and of hardships. It's those tough life lessons that we can't be shielding our kids from, ourselves from. Don't shy away when somebody starts saying mean things to you. Stand there, be stoic, and show them what a real man is.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because when it's happening, you know, you want to give the other person the power to control you and make you angry and make you react. You know, because sometimes we have the best comebacks, you know, we have the best reactions. We may even have the upper hand, physically speaking, you know, to overtake the other. But then it's still like you're losing. You're losing the battle, because at the end of the day, whether you win or lose, like, the other person already controlled you enough to get that reaction out of you.
Yeah.
And it's not about controlling anyone. I mean, this is about protecting your beloved. And, you know, it's getting kind of long. So
yeah,
I want to make sure that, you know, I back Ramon up in saying that you're too freaking important for this ministry not to exist. You know, you're too important for you to keep living in mediocrity if you have been. You know, you're too important for us not to tell you all these things that may be a little difficult to hear. You know, that if you have been a punk throughout your life, it doesn't have to stay that way. We're struggling right there with you. We're working right there with you. And just remember all these things, because whether you're a dad or not, you're a father somehow, some way, to someone. People are watching. People care. We're praying for you daily. Please remember that. And pray for us.
We'll pray for you.
Ferm.
Ferm.
Aquitur.
Dude,
he's got outtake done.
Like, go what?
Remember to give us a 5-star review.